206 DGS on Camel X. Have a half-baked thought I want to flesh out with you guys. And if you're listening and you think that what I'm trying to say is that white people suck or Republicans suck, you're missing my point. That's not what I'm trying to say. But kind of just like a survey of where we've been in the country and how we got where we are that just kind of hit me, and I just kind of wanted to share my thoughts with you guys. So when the country was set up, it's so interesting and almost ironic that the men who set it up, all white men, of course, created this document that has allowed non-white men to become equal, or at least more equal. And lest you think that, oh no, it's been equal from the beginning, I'll remind you that we owned black people for about 100 years. No getting out of that one. That we thought so little of females that we didn't let them vote until, I believe, 1919. That in my own lifetime, African Americans could not eat at the same place, swim in the same pool, or marry outside of their race in my lifetime, and I'm not a million. And in Phoebe Glover's life, gay people couldn't get married. So not a great track record. But interesting that the way that people of color, women, LGBT people were able to take back some equality was through the document drafted and founded over 200 years ago. And I think that's there's something ironic and beautiful and cool about that. And we're not there. I don't think we're where we need to be yet. I think a lot of people would agree with that. But I think a lot of consternation going on right now that, like, let's make America great again. Let's go back to this and let's do that. And where the hell are these people coming from? And why did they suddenly have all these rights? And they're shoving this down our throat and they're doing that. Everything that has happened through the Constitution. Those people, quote unquote, have used the most precious document to you to force their equal rights. So as we stand, gay people have, they are absolutely the same as straight people, legally. Hasn't always been that way, but that's the way it is now. So it's not that, like, well, you know, they're kind of the same. They're the same. They're exactly the same. And so when you are talking about books in schools and things like that, and if there were to be a book that had two men who were married and had two kids and a dog named Bingo was his name-o, it's not that weird. It may seem weird to you, but they are not second-class citizens. They are exactly on the same level legally as straight people. And so I just find it somewhat ironic that we're having all these fights when, and I understand it can be weird for people, and I understand that demographics are changing, and I understand that people are less religious and the country is less white, and that's the way it's heading. And yes, it's weird. I'm a white, straight person, and it's not lost on me either. I'm living in a different world than I grew up in, but for all the talk for a couple hundred years of, you know, give us your huddled masses and it's a melting pot. Guess what? It happened. It happened. All the stuff we used to brag about happened. And now half the country doesn't like it. Isn't that ironic?
It's fascinating to me, but because I think if you zoom out, like historically speaking, these things end up becoming about things like skin color or your belief system or whatever. But what it really is power resisting change. Because in throughout history, different people have had different power at different times,
yes.
Right? If you go back to England, for a long time, the royals and the nobles had all the power. Then the Magna Carta
came
along.
It didn't matter if you were a white man.
Right. No. It wasn't about that. It was just about here's who had power. And it was money, like, or wealth had power, right? And Magna Carta comes along and gives the common man some rights. And that starts to change that dynamic. Well, there's always going to be resistance to change from groups of people that are in power, and it's not just based on the color of your skin. It's not based necessarily on your specific religion, although it can be.
Yeah.
I mean, you had, you know, the Protestant Revolution, which was a, you know, big clash with Catholics, and all, you know, we know how that played out. Here, a lot of it has been about the color of your skin or belief systems, your cult. It's been culture, but it's also a weird country compared to the rest of the world in that it is the most wildly diverse, and yes, it is one of the biggest countries in the world, with people that come up from South America, with people that have come from North in Canada, people have come across the Atlantic, people have come across the Pacific. Like, it's not like small European countries. It's not like Russia, which is much more homogenous than the United States. So by nature, we have a lot more cultural aspects coming into play.
And there's no reason to think that it's going to be easy or great all the time. Like in the first segment, we were talking about when we were kids and you'd go to your cousin's house and everyone's got weird cousins, or you'd go to some house with a basement full of stranger kids. I think it's okay to admit that it can be a little weird. I think that's fine. I don't think you're a racist or a xenophobe or something when you say, well, things are different than they used to be. The demographics are different. They're a lot more this kind of person, a lot more that kind of person. That's the way it was designed. That's the way it's worked out. America has worked out in a very predictable kind of way if you just reverse engineer it all the way back. Yeah. Of course, this is what happened.
Yeah.
Because you invited everybody and everybody came to the party. And any party that's super diverse is going to be a little bit of a weird party,
yeah,
but has the makings for the best kind of party.
Yeah.
You follow?
Yeah. And what I'm always amazed at this idea that we as a species don't understand that it's always been that way. Right? Like, everybody has fought change. The beginning of Christianity was a massive change that the powers at that time fought against.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was a challenge to their power.
Squash it.
Right. And the idea, that's just the constant state of human beings. We are always changing. Society is always changing. It probably changes faster now than it used to because of the transfer of information.
You can say, if you're a believer, you believe that God's in charge and it would have happened regardless.
Sure.
But historically, without Constantine, we're probably not here.
No. And I think this idea that change is constant should, if you accept that idea, because it is true. If you are, I don't know what age, but if you are late 70s, 80s and older, the current world now is not your world. Just like when you were 30, 40, 50, the world was not that of those people that were 80 then.
Yeah.
It is going to be about the people that are in their quote unquote working prime, you know, the people that are holding power, which is now older than it used to be, which is maybe why this dynamic is more notable, because the older generation still has power compared to previous years. But that's never going to stop. Whatever it is now, in 20 years, it's not my generation anymore. It's not my time anymore. My time would have been in the past when I get to 20 years from now. The future is always going to be change.
Rach, thoughts?
I don't know. You guys both said a lot there, and it's hard to, you know exactly where to jump in. But I will say, I think the people you're speaking to, when you've been at the top of the food chain for so long, any time that's being chipped away at, I'm sure it feels very unfair and very like I'm being oppressed now instead of having to share, you know, a piece of cake with somebody else. Hmm. So, I'm not saying that's right. I can kind of see, you kind of understand the mindset of like, oh, well, you're not used to having to share. And now everyone's telling you to share. It's like a toddler. Like, they're like, I don't want to. It's like, well, you have to. Or, you know, I guess you don't have to, but you're going to look really bad if you keep resisting this. Because this is the way the country is moving, like you said.
And it's interesting because people get mad about somebody else, quote unquote, forcing their views on them. But that's what power has done forever. Power has always enforced its worldview on people that don't have power.
Also, like, you hear a lot, like, I'm just tired of them, whoever them is, shoving it down my throat. I get that because I don't like anyone shoving their thoughts down my throat.
Right.
I don't care whether you're Christian or atheist. I don't care if you're black or white. I don't care if you're gay or straight. I am open-minded and willing to listen to you, but don't yell at me.
Yeah. But it's only, to me, it's only force if you're telling me I can't be or believe what I want to believe or believe who I or be who I am.
So if someone is communicating with you forcefully, that's not the same.
But if they're not telling me that I have to change how I see the world, all they're asking, if someone's only saying, please respect that I exist, you're not forcing me to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, and think of, you know, it's really easy to point at people and be like, look at these activists. They're always shoving things down your throat. But how many just normal people are out there living their life? Like, how many transgender people are out there who don't make it their entire personality?
Right.
But people like to cherry pick and go like, see, libs of TikTok found this video of someone yelling at someone for misgendering them. They're all like that. No, that's not true. I guarantee you, you've come across people in your life and you have no idea what they're going through. They're just living their life. I mean, the vast majority of people are just living their lives. Not everyone is, quote unquote, shoving something down your throat.
223 DGS put a period at the end of that rant. Wheels had a good point, something that I say a lot that I should say, that I want to say here. The corollary to me, the other side of the equation of, hey, be cool to people who are living their life in the way that they want to, which is new to you and which may be new to them to do it out in the open. For the people doing that, give us a minute. Like, give us some grace, especially to people of an older generation who this is really, really weird for them. Here's an example. As I was walking out of my mom's new facility where she's living now, there were three women, and I introduced myself. I want everyone there to like me, so they like my mom. I'm Dave. Hi. And I said, okay, you ladies have a great day. And as I was walking out, I thought, one of those people could have been transgender. I didn't pick up on anything, but then again, it's not my job or duty or right to choose who is and who isn't, right? Well, you don't seem like that. And someone could have said, well, my name's Mel, and I go by they or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they would give me the benefit of the doubt that I'm a good person. I wasn't trying to be insulting in any way. Now, I don't see myself ever walking into place and being like, hi, I'm Dave. My pronouns are he. And I just don't, that's not my generation. I doubt I'd do that. However, if someone would have said, well, my name's Mel and I go by they or Z or whatever it is, I'd be like, Mel, hell of a nice to meet you. Absolutely. 100%. I'm not going to be like, really?
Yeah.
You feel me?
Right.
Yeah. But I do think that the people who are living a lifestyle that make other people uncomfortable, you don't owe them anything, but a little grace goes a long way.
That's some people just don't know.
Yeah.
Or like you think about how much of your speech.
Now, some people are jerks.
Yes, of course they are. And if they're jerks, well, then there's an appropriate
treat
reaction.
Like a jerk.
Right. But I think that there are people, too, who have built habits over decades.
Of course.
Like your habit of, good to see, have a good day, ladies.
Good day, ladies.
Right. Like if you've built a habit, it takes time to change it. If you're finding someone that is repeatedly doing that to you after there's been a conversation, like a polite one, then maybe you can start to say, okay, this person's being a jerk. They're doing this on purpose. But, you know, again, in general.
Yeah.
And I think the same counsel goes for each side of this argument. Give people some grace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In general, and I think you're all good.
And again, in general, I do think those marginalized people are giving a lot of grace a lot of the time.
Probably the majority of people. Yeah.
The vast majority, yeah. I would think. Again, there's unfortunate social media accounts that exist to like highlight the worst of the worst and the most obnoxious people
right.
out there. Mm-hmm. And you can do that when it comes to any group of people. But yeah, I mean, to your guys' point, Demi Lovato, the pop singer, had gone by they, them for a while and then eventually just went back to she, her because she said, I was getting confused. Like, it was just hard. People were always saying it. I was always saying it. So I just went back to feminine pronouns. I think it's a normal thing to slip up every once in a while.
Yeah.
And I remember one time talking about her, them on the show and like we all kept doing it. It was like, duh.
Right. Yeah.
Stop.
You have lifelong
just,
habits you're breaking.
You just thought of them as a she. So it was just hard to mm-hmm. get into that mindset.
And I mean, you know, I think Rach, that's a really great, great point is that they're not that the percentage of people that will scream at someone for getting the pronouns wrong is very small, but it goes viral. Just like
the proving a point.
And just like the percentage of quote unquote normies who have ill will towards the other group of people, towards right. transgender people or gay people, the percentage of quote unquote normies that actually have ill will is very small.
Mm-hmm.
But it's loud ones, and it's the vocal ones that get attention. And I think we, Dave, you probably say this more than anything when we talk politics. It's a very small percentage of people that create the most noise.
Yeah.
And if all of us collectively accept and understand that, and instead of taking those loud, crazy people on social media and thinking that that's this large group of people that differs with me.
Look at the House of Representatives in D.C. Look at the House of Representatives in Jefferson City. It's 2%?
Yeah.
5% at the most?
Yeah.
Everyone else there
that are making all the crazy noise.
Trying to do business.
Yep.
Yeah. I was reading an article today. The oldest guy in the world right now is 111.
Oh, man.
Which isn't that much older than my mom. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's really an odd thought.
I mean, that's about how much, I mean, well, how much is that? Like 3, 14, like
15 years.
That's not a ton older than me, than you, right?
No.
I mean.
What are we, 8? 8 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. Anyway, he, you know, of course, like, hey, we're watching it for so long. And he was saying fish and chips,
wow.
One strong drink a day,
mm-hmm.
Walk. Don't get so stressed out, you know, like pretty classic kind of stuff. And then the article went on. I thought this was kind of interesting. And it talked about this guy. There's several guys like this, but there's one main guy who's a billionaire and he's taking a 17-year-old son's blood and he only eats like one pea per day. Then he makes himself throw it up and, you know, and they're saying, like, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it to live to 100, to live this? Unless you just enjoy eating one pea, you know, is it really that the kind, is that what you want to live? And I thought, that's a really interesting thought. And then there's another guy who, anyone know who Rupert Everett is? He's a famous actor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know who he is, yeah. British dude,
gay guy, and evidently was just really promiscuous. And one of his friends, who's in his 70s, was saying, I've spent decades feeling like I wasted my life because I've been friends with Rupert, and he's told me all of his escapades, and they just sounded awesome. And I thought that was interesting. And it was basically an article about, like, regretting how you lived your life. Just kind of... an interesting thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a hard balance, right? Because you can be that billionaire that does everything right and you get hit by a car. You know, I'm like, you just, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, I'm not advocating for like a nihilistic, well, you never know, so live it up. I mean, everybody's going to be who they are based on how their brain processes the world. And if there's no wrong way. What I find maddening, though, are the way that they go to these 111-year-olds and they're like, what's your secret? You know, it's genetics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much of that is genetics and luck.
It always cracks me up when they're like, a tall glass of Dr. Pepper and fish and chips for lunch every single day for the last 70 years. I'm like, that's a crazy way to live.
Yeah, like, that's what you did.
What do you mean you ate the exact same thing for lunch every single day for 70 years? That's
although
nuts.
I gotta tell you, fish and chips and a nice Tangerine and tonic every day.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
It sounds pretty good.
That's pretty good.
It sounds pretty good, but it's like, man, wouldn't you get? I would get so tired of that.
I just it's maddening to the whole, like, what's the secret? There's no secret. Right? I mean, you can do certain things, and obviously the biggest things are make sure you see doctors regularly, follow up on things, you know, like do the normal things. But wouldn't you say that almost all of us here, we seem to live the balance of those two things?
Yeah.
Like, you're not reckless and crazy, but you're also not totally depriving yourself all the time either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, my mom grew up making and eating pie out of lard and sugar and smoked her whole life from the time she's 14, still does. And it's, you know, she's going to be 97. So,
I mean, that's a win.
I was just talking about this topic basically on my show this weekend with Trisha, and we were talking about, like, we'll get on Instagram and we'll see these extremely thin, fit women, and it's like, I'm never gonna have that body. And then you find out they only eat like a carrot a day, and it's like,
is it worth it?
Yeah, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to me. I would rather have a grilled cheese or something. So
yeah, I don't want to get up at 4 in the morning.
You can go to Six Flags and you can stay from 10 in the morning until 6 at night, and you can ride all the rides and go to all the shows. Or you can stay from 8 in the morning until 10 at night, but you can't ride any rides. It's like, I'll take a shorter stay and I'll ride the rides.
Good call. Yeah, you know? Good call.
I mean, I wouldn't because I hate rides.
Yeah, and look, I do understand.
Watch his friends ride the rides.
I do understand, like, referring to the billionaire, like, he's probably thinking in a really billionaire kind of way, well, we don't know what innovations are coming in the next 10 to 20 to 30 years, yeah. And I want to be around to find out what might extend even further, right? Yeah. Like, who knows what gets solved with
AI?
Quantum computing.
Yeah.
And that combination with AI. And if that solves things we can't solve now, I could live 200 years.
I really do feel like I may have one of the last natural deaths. That after my generation, like Andrew and Rach, I feel like you will have options. That you will have choices that, well, you know, we can always put in a pig heart and we can do this and we can
replace. They'll be growing organs in a lab. I mean, they're already starting to figure that out.
I'm kind of glad. I'm not a great decision maker. I'm not sure I would want to be faced with replacing all my veins with the veins of a monkey.
Well, I was going to ask you guys, don't you think that with, I don't know this billionaire guy's name, but like, don't you think there's something wrong after a certain point? It's not even just like, oh, I'm so conscientious. I just want to eat the one pea a day and maybe I'll make it another, you know, 5 more years than I typically would. Don't you think that there's something a little bit wrong with your brain if you're so hyper-focused on, well, I can never die. It can never happen to me.
Yeah.
I have to push it as long as I possibly can. You're raging against the inevitable. Yeah. I mean, everyone, that's the one fact we can hang our hat on in life is everyone passes away.
But you're also to the point where you're like, you're transfusing your child's blood.
I guess it's difficult, though, to imagine being a billionaire. That they can make things happen that we simply cannot. And however you become a billionaire, you've obviously done a lot of amazing things.
Things that people probably told you were impossible.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and you're living in this new world of AI and quantum mechanics and pig hearts and, you know, maybe they're onto something, but to the rest of us non-billionaires, it seems like you're wasting your 40s and your 50s trying to be 30. Just be 40 and 50.
Yeah.
And it's going to become, once we unlock pig hearts and monkey veins, it's going to become a lot more complicated. The whole thing is just going to become a lot more.
Now I feel like I have monkey veins. Man.
What if you could get monkey powers that way?
You are obsessed.
Monkeys are
what if you could run?
What if you could, like,
they're
run?
Fast. They're strong.
Have you seen, by replacing all 35,000 of your veins?
Speaking
with
of,
veins?
Have you seen the video of the gorillas fighting in the zoo? I mean, they're throwing hands.
Yeah.
And is this with the zookeepers in the enclosure?
No, but there's a zookeeper there, and the people are like, do something! Do something!
He's like, what am I going to do?
What?
He's going to get in between them.
We can't have another Harambe situation at any cost. Never again can that happen.
But also, like, people. Gorillas fight, man. Like, what kind of
weird... You just made a monkey sound.
I'm stunned at
the weird... Here comes
the
gorilla expert.
I'm stunned. No. I'm stunned at the weird, stupid sensitivity of people. Like, tell them to stop being what they are. Stop being what you are.
But there's like, let me tell you something about gorillas.
Hey, I gorilla run in my dreams, man.
You want to play an audio or two?
Sure. Who would like to go first? Everyone has audio today.
Oh.
I mean, I can go first if you guys want.
No, go for it.
Mine is silly. This is not from yesterday's eclipse, but this is from the 2017 eclipse. I thought this was so adorable and so funny. This is America's sweetheart, Sarah Jessica Parker, recorded this during the 2017 eclipse, and her reaction, I've never been this happy about anything ever.
Oh my God, this is the most spectacular light I've ever seen. It doesn't make any sense. It's happening, you guys, it's happening. Oh my God. There's a corona! Oh my God, there it is! There it is! Without your glasses! Oh my God, it's happening! And lightning! And birds that are rarely ever seen!
And birds that are rarely ever seen!
She's making me feel bad about my life.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
Man, after hearing that, I bet there are some people listening getting a cigarette.
Yeah, right?
She's pretty. What the heck? I can't believe it's happening. We knew it was going to happen. That's how you're watching.
I got home last night. As I've told you, no one loves the local news more than me. Mm-hmm. And I got home and I just wanted some non-Eclipse local news. And everyone was running Eclipse specials. I'm like, Matt Chambers, you son of a bitch. Will you?
What else is he supposed to talk about on Eclipse
CNN
Day?
Is doing Eclipse coverage like now. Like they are occasionally cutting away to be like,
done.
Remember when the Eclipse happened? I've got a similar one about the uptick in Google results.
I did see
at
this.
At about 3 o'clock yesterday.
You want me to hit it?
Yeah, I'll hit it.
My eyes hurt. Relevance over the last 24 hours. Peaks at 3:20 in the afternoon Eastern at 100% interest level, the highest that you can get on Google. Let's see who was interested in it. Everybody from Maine to Texas was interested in this thing.
My
pretty much a straight line. Shout out to West Virginia, who was 100% interested in it. They were very, very interested in why their eyes were hurting.
That's
half the totality of the eclipse.
I wonder why.
All right, we have Ricky next, right?
We do.
All right, let's break here then. Welcome back, guys. DGS 249. Time to talk to your buddy, Ricky Horton. Ricky Chuck Taylor Horton.
How about that? I was enjoying listening to you guys talking about how cool you were in high school with all the kicks you were wearing. So I had to throw in my 2 cents. I had white Chuck Taylors for home games and black ones for away games. How cool was I?
Man,
I love it.
You're on top of your game,
They gave them to us. They gave them to every player on the team. I mean, you know, we're from a small little town, and I don't know where the budget came for all the Chuck Taylors. And all I know is that they were not the most sturdy shoes in the history of best. And you know, it probably the reason I only had about a 1.5-inch vertical jump too with the Chuck Taylors.
Well, because you're afraid to come down and bust your ankle.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's awesome. How excited about Sonny Gray are you, Rick?
I am. I you know, obviously he was the big news of the offseason signing Sonny Gray, and we've been kind of waiting to see him. And, you know, I think it's intriguing that he has pushed the start today. He hasn't had a rehab start. He hasn't kind of thrown to live competition enough to kind of warrant it. But he said, I know my body. And, you know, the last guy to say that was Joaquin Andujar. He kind of knew that his body too. So Sonny Gray, as a veteran, I guess, has earned the right to do that. He's not going to go very long today. But I think it's going to be great to watch him pitch. He's one of those guys that I think will – kind of show how it's done to the younger pitchers that the Cardinals have.
You know, it's interesting, Rick, because it's not been perfect with the starting pitching, but the workload stuff has largely been there. We've seen Kyle Gibson, even when he struggled the other day, still was able to get deeper into the game and not bury the bullpen, and Miles is going in that direction. And what's crazy is, you know, the offense is actually what's been dragging the team down here lately, in particular, the big-name guys.
100%. And Ollie Marmol's been talking about that. He said, you know, when we're playing well, it's good because the big guys hit. And he's talking about, of course, Arenado, Goldschmidt, and he throws Nolan Gorman into that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would actually throw in Wilson Contreras into that, too. He had such a good spring, and when he got hit by a pitch, you know, I think he'd been swinging the bat very well, actually, towards the end of spring training and into the early going. So I think the Cardinals have missed him the last couple of days. But, you know, obviously, if you're going to score 6-7 runs a game, those middle guys have to produce.
Rick, you know, on that note, since you're talking about a team that hasn't had the most explosive offense here lately, Ivan Herrera seems to be putting himself into the mix to get some at-bats on a more regular basis when Wilson is back, because he's been really productive and provided a couple of home runs.
Hard to keep him out of the game. I'd say he and Mason Wynn have been the best two hitters that the Cardinals have right now in the early going. And you know, it's interesting. I think if the big guys hit, I think that will help Victor Scott. It'll help Jordan Walker. Less pressure on them to have to be the guy. But Herrera looks really good at the plate, and I think he's found some extra power too. He started to kind of hit the ball a little bit further towards the end of spring training, and had a really good winter ball. And you know, the home run he hit here yesterday, I mean, it just barely got out. But he's got a nice, easy stroke and a good power stroke to go along with it.
And how about the defense, man? Did some circus plays.
Well, nobody likes defense better than pitchers. And I would say, you know, any old pitchers even more so, because you appreciate what they do for the game. It's a beautiful game when the defense is good. And Paul Goldschmidt was magical at first base yesterday. Nolan Gorman's been good. He did make an error yesterday. But, you know, the flash of what Mason Wynn does at shortstop. And, you know, Victor Scott has been told, you know, you can hit 100. Doesn't matter. Keep doing what you're doing in center field. Now, eventually they're going to want him to hit. But I think his outfield defense has been so good that it sticks out from what we've seen the past couple of years.
Ricky, what do we know about Tommy Edman and what's taken so long?
Well, it's just slow. I think he's surprised by it. I talked to him yesterday, and I think, you know, the procedure that they had to do for him was more extensive than he thought it was going to be when they went in. That's the first thing he said. But secondarily, you know, I'm sure it's just an odd, you know, if you're a hitter and you've got something in your wrist or in your anywhere in your arm, you know, there's a lot of tension when you swing a baseball bat and, you know, finishing well and driving the ball. And there's a lot to that, and the torque that you put on your elbow and wrist and hand and all that. And if you're not right, you know, you're going to feel it. And if you got some kind of, you know, contraption, that, you know, some kind of metal in your arm or whatever that was put in there, you feel that for a while. And I think that's kind of where he is. So I would say his progress slower than everybody thought, including Tommy.
It is an interesting thing with when we're looking at how this outfield is going to play out. You mentioned with Victor Scott, the defense is great, and we know that the team values that tremendously. But Nootbaar's coming back this week, and I know they've been, you know, in the spring, it was like, we don't want Newt to play center field. But if the offense is struggling, you might see a little bit of a change day by day, right? Kind of like what you need for a given moment.
Well, I think that's always true. I mean, it's, you know, it's like every other profession. It's, you know, it's still about performance, and, you know, you're performing, you play, and so Nootbaar is going to get that chance. I'm kind of, you know, I made the comment yesterday that I feel like I need to lower the Nootbaar in terms of what the expectations are for him, because he has not, you know, he has not really faced a lot of competition, live competition, and he really didn't have a full spring training. So you're talking about a guy that, you know, when they say, you know, you're working out your timing in spring training, well, that's where he's going to be. Now, he may come in and he may be all timed up and it may be great. The only at-bats he had up until yesterday from a minor league right-handed pitcher was Skeens, who's unhittable anyway. And so he just doesn't have that feel yet at the plate. He feels good, but he's not timed up yet.
Have a great game, Rick.
Thanks, guys.